We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It says here to take 2 for results in 8 hours. That means we should take 8 for results in 2. Yep.
With Dusty Hara.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
Good morning, happy Thursday, our favorite day of the week, because it is, Mr. Cleland.
Our
yeah.
Day before the day before.
Yeah, buddy.
The day before the day. Why, well, I'm watching basketball this morning. What's wrong with it? Jake Layman had a night last night.
Is that where you want to start the show?
It's where I was watching last night. It was a slow sports evening, so I flipped on preseason Blazers basketball.
Wah, wah,
okay,
wah.
That's enough. I just had enough. I just had enough.
No, it was. I actually watched a little bit of it too.
I saw Yusuf Nurkic airball a 3-pointer.
Well, that's not good.
I saw
good.
Lonzo Ball do the same thing, if it helps.
Well, that's normal. We're used to seeing that, aren't we?
Yeah, but we saw many reports that his jumper got much better this
it
offseason.
Did.
Well,
it did.
We did with Nurkic as well.
It's more efficient.
We did with Nurkic as well.
Jake Layman had an efficient night last night.
Yeah. Did you
flip
see
an all-star night?
Jake Layman.
Good beard or bad beard?
Serviceable beard.
Coming from the beardless one over there.
That's why I called it a serviceable beard. I'm not going to sit there and criticize his facial hair.
Good for beard.
Layman went, as Buck pointed out, incredibly efficient night. 10 of 14, 5 of 7 from 3 against the Suns. 28 points.
Good.
No Dame. No CJ.
Well, we got to get a little Blazers in, and we just got a little bit of Blazers in.
116 to 83. All right. Biggest takeaway from that game?
We got to way too many guards.
Oh, okay. I was going to go with DeAndre Ayton's shoes.
That one, too.
He's wearing his Pumas.
Yeah.
He's been wearing Nikes,
but
covering them up with tape.
So?
Because Puma's basketball shoe wasn't ready.
It wasn't ready for him yet. Here's what I think has happened. You know how decades start to swing back and forth and you start to have a rebirth? The 70s and early 80s are back. When I mean back in a heyday, the hair is back. The short shorts are back.
Short shorts.
The facial hair, we're letting it flow. If you have it, you're letting it go. The facial hair everywhere.
All of these things are correct.
So even clothing. I mean, I'm seeing women walk around in shoulder pad gear. Shoulder pads are back in clothing.
Do you remember in the 90s?
How is that? I remember
when bell bottoms came back in the 90s. It's all cyclical like that.
I don't remember bell bottoms in the 90s. Well, I just remember baggy.
I'll go wide flare then. That's what they wanted to call them because they didn't want to call them bell bottoms.
I was right at the early 90s. It was taper leg. The taper leg. Mm-hmm. Always had the taper leg. But then you went wide baggy early 90s because that was what everybody in Pearl Jam wanted you to wear. You wanted to wear flannels and wide baggy.
That's right.
But then bell bottoms. And then it was boot cut. And now it's back to taper leg. Very tapered. Everybody's wearing soccer pants around.
Which all this means is that I'm going to start buying stock in JNCOs.
Well, I'm trying to think.
And then in like 10 years, JNCOs are going to come back.
Yeah.
You know?
You might get be a millennial too tight.
Yeah.
If there was a trend that you wanted from your era to be back where you could support it and be 100% all in, what trend would that be?
Hypercolor.
Yeah, you're still... Okay.
Hypercolor was pretty rad.
Hypercolor was rad, but for a guy that pits out, I don't know if you want that.
Don't worry.
Yeah, hypercolor much better pre-puberty.
Yeah.
I'll go with Body Glove, just the brand.
Body Glove.
Remember Body Glove, the brand?
Body Glove. The brand.
I'd like to bring that back.
It was around the same time as Gecko Hawaii. Do you remember Gecko Hawaii?
I do.
Good brands.
And Big Dogs.
Stussy.
Yeah. What are the big brands?
Now?
Yeah, kids. What do they wear? I don't know. This is some weird, strange brand. Oh, what's the brand J.R. Smith has on the back of his leg?
Supreme.
Everybody's wearing Supreme. That's it. Big brands.
I don't know.
Free marketing.
I just felt really out of touch with the youth when I when
so
you asked
I.
that question. I was like,
all looking around like
H&M?
H&M. Forever 21. That's just a store.
Mm.
That's where I don't
know. Well, so
go.
Is H&M, but
I think
it's
both,
cheap.
Also, I think both more female-oriented than male-oriented. Mm.
Forever 21 is all ladies?
I think it is all ladies.
Wait a minute.
No,
all
I don't know
ladies?
If it's, I don't know if it's exclusively. I just think it's more geared towards
women's
fashion.
Here's an interesting question on the Better You Today text line. Instead of the one you want back, which one was so bad that it will never return?
Swatch watches.
I mean, the JNCO's got to be up there.
The JNCO has got to be up there. That was such an awful look. Why was that ever a thing?
I remember
parachute pants. Parachute pants.
Oh, those came back in the early 2000s.
What about hammer
bit.
Pants? Are those the same?
Hammer pants.
No, parachute pants and hammer pants are different.
Are you thinking Zubas?
Mm-hmm. Not Zubas. No, just, I mean, crazy patterns like MC Hammer.
I tend to think, too, it was the starter jacket era.
Whoa. Wait,
yeah.
That's never going to come back?
No, that will come back.
Yeah,
like the colors are going to make its way back.
Oh, starter jackets are vintage. I feel like the people are already rocking those again.
Yeah, but it's going to come back big time. Mm-hmm. And the high hats are already back. Certainly flat bills are back. Mm. Already been back.
Hey, how about this one? Windbreakers are coming back too. The windbreaker is, I've seen a lot more windbreakers running around town. And those things are, the windbreaker's always been interesting to me because it's not a raincoat, nor is it something that keeps you warm. It is truly just to break the wind from hitting your skin.
Yeah, but does it break it?
It's just uncomfortable. It's
sticky.
Just a weird little,
And if it does get wet, it becomes kind of like a wet paper sack.
Right. And it just sticks to you.
Yeah, not a fan.
Horrible. Corduroy pants. Let's
corduroy.
Bring those back. That was a big Friends era.
It was.
Man.
Ooh, how about this? Pleated pants. Pleated.
Yeah, those will always go in and out.
Pleated and cuffed khakis. Very like, very country club.
Very.
Wear it with a blue blazer that has a couple gold buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Gold, maybe.
You had
back.
To have khaki pants, blue blazers in the 90s when you went on a road trip for our football team. But I think everybody that had college budget, it was a khaki pants, blue blazer top.
No, I think that was just essentially the kind of the required young adult male formal wear. I mean, that's what you built your formal wardrobe
get your blue
around.
Blue blazer.
Huh. I would totally rock a rat tail again.
Oh.
I saw a kid. And
I saw a fan.
It was
a
mean rat tail.
Wait, are you going family of rat tails?
Family.
Now that's a family
from
you don't
mom
screw with. You don't
all
screw
the way
with that
down.
Family. No, they got a lot of weapons on them.
Yeah.
Not just guns. They got shanks.
And do you remember the
shivs.
Car that Uncle Buck drove? No pun intended here, Uncle Buck. Do you remember the movie Uncle Buck? Of course you
do.
Do you remember the car Uncle Buck drove?
The one that just spewed out.
I think it was like a Lincoln Continental two-door. That's the car they all got out of.
It growls when it's driving up.
That's what they all got out of.
Well, good for them.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
My best friend's little brother had a rat tail, and it got so long and gross, the mom's like, you have to cut it. You got to get rid of it. And he was so mad about it, out of protest, he pinned it to his wall for years
after.
That's
weird. What's that guy up to now?
Actually, I don't know. I mean, it's one of my best friend's little brother, so.
I bet if you Googled that guy, there's some weird stuff happening there.
I think he's vegan now.
Well, that kind of makes sense.
That makes sense, of course. Hey, did you see
this? Hey, it's
better
vegan not eating meat than eating people.
I got
something.
That could
be a slippery slope there.
I got something for you guys, because I'm a P1 of all of our other shows.
Are you?
Yes. I listen to Dirt and Sprague, and of course I listen to Primetime.
God.
I know.
You're on the radio a lot.
I know. I'm a P1. Kay. I'm a P1er.
Good.
I heard yesterday at the end of the show of Dirtus and Spragus.
Dirtus.
Dirty little quackies.
Okay.
He calls my dogs the puppies, so I'm just
going
to quackies in him to death.
That's
anywho,
a good one.
Anywho, they mentioned that Oregon leads the country in coffee and bad coffee consumption of stuff like PSLs.
Okay.
Wait, lead the country
pumpkin spice lattes, we lead the country
in
here?
In foofy drinks.
Oh,
we like our foofy coffee here.
That's not surprising.
Is that not surprising, or is it atypical?
No, that's not surprising.
So if you're a vegan, you're driving around in your Subaru, and you're having a PSL. This is for you.
You've got like a pumpkin spice latte, or you're going just for you right flavored now. Flavored coffee in general.
Yeah.
That's very Portland.
Even more than the state of Washington.
Think of this. Yeah, because they just like coffee. Here, it's like Dutch Brothers, where it's like,
no, it's incessant.
I'm going to have some sugar with a sprinkle of your coffee, a little dabble on top,
who
love it.
Who knew that Irish coconut slabs of sugar was going to be a drink? Found a way to do it. I found a way to make millions.
I don't even know what a slab of sugar is. And why are the Dutch good at coffee? Right. Why are they?
I don't know, but it's a great place. I guess the kids love it. They're always happy there
because of their wooden shoes.
And wooden shoes.
Mm-hmm. Does
I just every time I think of Dutch, I think of Dutch boy paint. So I don't agree with you, little Dutch boy haircut.
Well, you should start thinking of Dutch Brothers.
Yeah.
And the great coffee that they make there.
So here we go. Good for you, Oregon, and your PSLs.
Mm-hmm. All right, sports show.
I did. I talked about the Blazers to start. Where have you been? I said Jake Layman really had a night last night.
Didn't really pay attention to that.
Well, we brought it back.
Didn't really pay attention to that. The Mo Harkless injury is a little concerning, though. Mm-hmm. Mo out with a knee still since March. All right.
Yeah, do they use coffee?
Who?
Dexter said.
Dutch Brothers?
Yeah.
I
don't think they have any coffee in their drinks.
Oh.
Just a bunch of stickers.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see this.
Blazers.
Sports show, football. We've got to discuss Oregon, Washington a little bit more today. Hugh Jackson warning of rat poison in Cleveland. Watch out now. Mm-hmm. Watch out, Cleveland.
Watch out.
Buck will have his Know Your Foe at 7:45, where, Cam, if you get any of these wrong, we're officially taking away your Washington card.
Oh, you can't do that.
Yeah, we can.
You can't do that. It's my favorite chant.
Okay, Know Your Foe. You are the foe this week.
Well, then if you miss any Oregon ones, I'm taking you. Oh, wait.
You are the foe.
Maybe one of these days when we only have one, we'll do a Southern Oregon Know Your Foe.
Right.
I'm
going to
guess that he might have
a
Ted Bundy question in there. I'm going out on a limb.
Ted Bundy was a Husky.
Everyone knows Ted Bundy was a Husky.
Everyone knows Ted Bundy. You think I honestly know everything about my former alma mater?
You should.
I think you better.
You better?
Oh, okay.
You should.
Okay.
What kind of fan are you, man?
No, I think you've got a shot at these.
I got a shot.
Pro Football Challenge at 8 o'clock. Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network will join us at 7:15. At 7:15, he'll join us. And then textual relations, malcontent or competitor. We'll let you hear from Jimmy Butler and the details on his return to the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Sprague shops at Forever 21.
Does he?
Brandon, do you shop at Forever 21? Do you really? That's a joke, right? No, he doesn't.
I think he does.
They don't have past-the-knee cargo pants at Forever 21.
Whoa! Wait, Sprague wears those?
Every day.
He wears cargo pants?
Cargo shorts pants.
All right, I'm going to have to look at this.
Come on, he's cheap. He's not shopping there. Unless it is cheap. Is it a cheap store?
I don't believe it is. H&M is pretty cheap. They got some okay stuff there. So maybe I
he's
dude,
not awake.
You're
he's
asking
not
the wrong guy. Yeah, he is.
He's not.
Sprague's on the way to the gym, probably. You know, he wakes up early and goes to the gym, bro.
He bros it.
Yeah.
He bro it out.
Want to do some preacher curls? Let's get this show on the road, shall we?
I remember it was just like yesterday.
All right, 1998, Steve Young became only the 20th player in NFL history to throw for 30,000 yards in a career. 20. How much has the game changed?
Just a little bit.
At that point, the NFL was 68 years old and only 20 players had reached that feat.
Mm-hmm.
In the 20 years since Steve Young joined the club, 25 more players have joined the 30,000-yard club.
Yeah.
Including guys like Joe Flacco, Jay Cutler, Alex Smith, these guys who we're not calling Hall of Famers or flashy guys by any means.
Sure.
We've had over one per year join this club since then.
It is a passing league.
Yes, it is.
They sure like the balls in the air.
Do you know the next person to join this club, who it likely will be?
Ooh.
He's only like...
Russell Wilson.
Less than 1,500 yards away.
No.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, Fitzy.
Is nearing 30,000 yards.
That's a good question.
Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, and Russell Wilson, along with Andrew Luck, also... nearing the 30,000-yard club.
Incredible.
Not as exclusive as it once was, but impressive nonetheless. Troy Aikman's barely in it. Troy Aikman, Hall of Fame career, barely threw for 30,000 yards in his entire career.
He's got Super Bowls. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, Troy Aikman's personal numbers, not that impressive. Just what he did with his team, very
impressive. One of the greatest dominant I would say, franchises or era of time of football where that was like the 49ers Cowboys. That was the most enjoyable time of football for me to watch thus far as watching football professionally.
It was a fun time.
It was great.
Unless you're a Buffalo Bills fan.
No, that's what made it great.
Is that they just kept losing?
No, they kept winning the AFC and losing in the Super Bowl.
in crippling fashion.
That was great football.
It was great football. But also,
starter jackets were in the heyday.
Remember the Logo Athletic hats that looked like...
of course I do.
The wave. What was that? What design would you... Like a bunch of shark fins on it in different colors.
Yeah. Kind of like flames that were coordinated or something.
That's what I'm talking about.
Coordinated flames. That's a good one. Multi-coordinated colors.
Or what's
flames.
The thing that's on the top of like a chicken's head? You know, the little like pointy thing?
Kind yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Fin. What is that
Some
called?
Sort of fin. Chicken fin?
I don't know. Chicken fin. I think that's what it should be called.
I think we're going to go with chicken fin. Final answer.
Is that what you when the big chicken's coming at you? You ever seen that video clip of that giant chicken come out of the chicken house, the hen house? You ever seen that clip?
Yeah, it's called Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, but that thing is a monster. It will eat you alive. This is the biggest chicken I've ever seen.
Okay. I'm afraid of chickens.
You know what chicken I'm talking about? Have you seen that thing come out? It's the size of a donkey.
I'm afraid of chickens, though. Like when a little chicken is around me.
All right, we're going to find this thing.
I feel uneasy.
Right, I'm going to find it. I'm going to tweet it out, and I want you to tell me. Could you beat up this chicken or would Dusty die if this chicken was...
I would probably die. Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. The official from the grassy knoll. This is a real thing in the Pac-12. 618 on the fan. Okay.
Saw the chicken, didn't you?
Yeah, it's terrifying. That's enormous. It's terrifying. And I don't know what I would do if this giant chicken...
I didn't know you were
afraid
of chickens.
Yeah, I enjoy
like Rocky
eating them.
Chasing around in the chicken coop.
No. I know where it all started. When I was a kid, I had a buddy who had chicken coop. Mm-hmm. Right?
You lock you in?
No. Oh. But we were going in there and feeding the chickens or whatever, doing his chores after school one day, and then they had a super aggressive one.
Yeah.
And it chased me down. I was like a little kid.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I was like first or second grade, and I remember that thing cornering me.
Didn't like
it. And
like
coming at me. And my buddy's like, just kick it. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I froze. I was frozen in the corner by a chicken.
Little chicken.
So I just hate him now. I'm afraid of him. That chicken is enormous. This thing is honestly, it's like 4.5 feet tall,
if not more. It's got size 30 feet. It's huge.
Yeah.
If I had that thing in my front yard, I'd be like, oh, it's BBQ time.
And it comes out of just like a standard chicken coop.
I don't know if that's standard.
And then it just keeps growing and growing. It's ridiculous.
Anyway.
Anyways. the Pac-12, shockingly enough, has more issues. The third-party official. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what that is, and I had no idea that was real.
Me neither. This comes via Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports, very noted and respected college football writer. He was looking into, remember the Washington State USC game where Porter Gustin, he should have been called for targeting against Garden Minshew in the waning moments of that game.
It was a really egregious, probably one of the worst ones I've seen this year.
Yeah, well, he got, Pete Thamel that is, got a copy of the officials report. The booth officials report. So they keep notes on every single call, every single replay that's done, right? And as he was reading it, he went through and he was obviously looking at the Gustin Minshew play, but that isn't what rang the alarm bells in his head. This comes from an earlier targeting call where Logan Tago went helmet to helmet with USC quarterback JT Daniels in the third quarter after Daniels had taken a knee as a defenseless receiver and Tago hit him. Targeting was not called early in the game, much to the confusion of the television broadcasters. This is what from Yahoo Sports. The replay report obtained by Yahoo Sports states that, quote, unfortunately, a third party did not agree with the call. That, quote, third party was Pac-12 General Counsel and Senior Vice President of Business Affairs, Woody Dixon. Yahoo Sports sources have confirmed. Dixon telephoned in his opinion that the play wasn't targeting, sources said. According to the report, his opinion overruled both the trained officials in the stadium and the replay booth and the league's command center.
Hmm.
So Dixon is the supervisor of Pac-12 football.
Yeah.
He is not a trained official. He should not have say in any calls, yet he called the stadium and overruled the officials on the field and in the booth and in San Francisco's replay center.
Who is this guy again?
Woody Dixon.
Okay.
He's a vice president of business affairs. And
vice president of business affairs, the business of football, regulating and what, a decision during the game is business affairs?
Yeah.
I have no idea. What a, I mean, I'm at a loss for words. That is a complete boondoggle.
It says here he was formerly the salary cap manager and general counsel for the Kansas City Chiefs.
This is
which
incredible.
Which means he's a
right
lawyer?
Now. Probably. Capologist.
This is something that.
This deserves bigger attention in my
a
mind.
A
garbuncle is when it's garbage and a bungle.
Yeah. I don't know. And Larry Scott is refuting this. He said our instant replay supervisor, Bill Richardson, is the ultimate decision maker. The misperception that in this case, the ultimate decision from the command center was made by someone other than the instant replay supervisor is a concern. Yeah, it was far more than just a concern for the Pac-12.
Yeah, this is a big-time
concern.
This
is somebody on the outside influencing the outcome of a game potentially.
Well, this really starts to make me wonder if this has happened once, how many more times prior to this has this guy or other people that have a direct red bat phone to the officials say, you can't do this.
I don't know.
And change this. This isn't something that we can go, okay, this just happened once. I believe that this is something that's been in the works for quite some time. And we look at the officials. Do you remember when we had Joel Klatt? We were talking about the officials and how every conference has their own set of rules. There's no unification with all the officials from the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the SEC. When they all get together, they all say, hey, that's a foul. Then one official crew would say, no, we wouldn't call it that way. Then another group say, well, we see it. Everybody interprets it different. There's no unified group of knowledge. In fact, now we're starting to understand there's no hierarchy of how things are called.
Well, and this is an even bigger issue with what you just said in that both the officials on the field, the replay booth in the stadium, and the command center all said that's targeting. And so this was one instance where they all said yes, and then it got overturned, which in when you fast forward that game, right, and you go to the end where the Porter Gustin and Gardner Minshew play happened, then obviously their view on what targeting is was influenced to the point where they didn't call that obvious targeting penalty as well.
The texters got it here on Better You Today text line. Money, betting, gambling. I have no other reasoning.
I mean,
there is no other reasoning. There's a direct correlation between keeping the line where it needed to be. I mean, I don't think I'm putting even a conspiracy theory here together.
If I'm a Washington State fan, I'm
furious.
Now that this call in particular went against you, right? Or went for you,
mm-hmm.
right? The one because this is a Washington State player hitting a USC quarterback. But ultimately, that call being overturned by some guy in an office
did not allow you to get the other one.
Did not allow you to get the other one.
Fair play.
And you should have won that game.
Yep.
If you move forward 15 yards, you keep that drive alive and you're not sending your kicker out in that situation. That is a massive problem for the Pac-12 and for Larry Scott. I have a feeling that this is just the beginning of this.
Yeah, this
story
is not going to go away. I believe this will get bigger and we're going to see an investigation and hopefully we get a deep dive into the Pac-12 of what the heck they are doing.
It's a mess, man. And I don't, there's no defending this if you're Larry Scott either. Because obviously, the replay officials and the officials on the field had come under so much heat for that call that they were like, you know what? Screw this. Our hands were tied.
Right. Throw somebody else under the bus.
And they did.
Yep.
And they did.
And then backed over.
55305. That is the Better You Today text line. From third-party officials to the third team beating the starters in Minnesota, Jimmy Butler, malcontent or just a competitor? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
249er 5, 6, 7, 8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. I didn't think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be, over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
All right, 55305, the better you today text line. This text, we're going to have more on the Pac-12 officials thing, I think, coming up later in the show. Because this is turning into a far bigger story than what we just initially thought it was. And it's kind of taking a lot more twists and turns now that Thamel has brought out who it was and what happened in that Washington State-USC game. So we'll get some of your feedback on that coming up later. But Jimmy Butler is returned. He's back for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And boy, was it a return for the ages. During their practice yesterday, reports started coming out from Adrian Wojnarowski, which is an interesting thing that it comes out during practice and then immediately afterwards, Jimmy Butler is sitting down with Rachel Nichols for an interview, who Rachel Nichols, not based in Minnesota last time I checked. They had a sit down interview immediately following the practice, and Nichols comes straight out and asks him about if Adrian Wojnarowski's tweets were true about Jimmy Butler practicing with the third unit and beating the starters.
You were loud, emotional, passionate, we like to say, targeting Coach Tom Thibodeau, teammates like Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, that you told GM Scott Layton, quote, "You effing need me." How would you describe what happened today?
A lot of it's true. A lot of it is true. But you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm so passionate, and I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time. Was it the right way to do it? No. But I can't control that when I'm out there competing. Like, that's my love of the game. That's raw me. Me at my finest, me at my purest. That's what you're going to get inside the lines.
Lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
He takes the third string, mm-hmm. beats the starters, is going at Karl Anthony Towns, is going at Andrew Wiggins, is going at Tom Thibodeau, his head coach, and then is looking at the GM saying, "You effing need me." Is this a malcontent or is this a competitor, as he says?
There is a lot to unpack in this. There's a lot of opinions on what you can look at in today's world of you need to tell everybody your feelings. Especially with sports, the power that athletes have now, especially in the NBA. No question at the NBA. We saw it from Doug Baldwin in the NFL. We saw it from
Odell Beckham?
No. Well, Odell Beckham is another good one. Earl Thomas is okay, who I was thinking one. Of. Sorry. Okay. Everybody that's a malcontent or frustrated or not feeling, here's the big word, is it appreciated? I think that all... Here, this is not a news flash for guys. We love to feel appreciated. We don't need the adoration at all times, but to feel appreciated as a professional athlete in today's world means pay me. Pay me.
Well, here,
pay me what I'm worth.
You know, Jimmy Butler is saying that along with other reasons why he doesn't feel appreciated.
It's not about money.
So tell me what it's about.
It's about like saying, we need you. We want you here. We can't do this without you. And that was the disconnect all year long. Like, you're saying one thing, and you're saying it, and you're saying it, and you're saying it. I mean, I've learned enough times in life that, you know, saying something is completely different than acting upon it. Say, actions speak louder than words, whatever quote you want to use. And when it came to that point, it was like, I let y'all know what the deal was as soon as you traded for me. I told you the truth from day one, and I will continue to do it. And I did it. And it's kind of like, I don't know, slap in the face. I don't know how to put it, but it made me think like maybe I'm not that important to your organization. That is how I took it.
I had a similar experience when I first went to New England. I was a guy coming off an injury, and they brought in Christian Fourier. Then they drafted Daniel Graham, who was a tight end, first round pick. And I immediately got there and I went, God, I just not in value. And the emotional side of it is you come out and you beat them both out in training camp, as I did, and I was an underpaid guy, and the next thing you know, I was in certain, and then I started the first couple games, had all these catches, and all of a sudden it was gone. is gone. I was relegated to not even being active in week four. And I remember Coach Belly looking at me and saying, hey, we want you. We appreciate what you're doing. That you just, we got to get these other guys some. I was like, all right. You just know immediately that you look at it, you go, okay, maybe I don't fit, or maybe there's something there that's not connecting, or we've paid these guys other money. We got to get them younger. We see the future of our team. Maybe you're just kind of the veteran that we're going to have to be a stopgap. And then the reality sets in is that, you know what? You're a hired gun and you were there to help the team kind of grow, but you're not something we're going to invest on in the future. And when that reality hits you, you're like, I'm not really appreciated. That's hard to deal with for all of us young people or athletes that hold ourselves to a super high esteem when you know you're better than your entire group that you're competing against. Jimmy Butler is the best player on that team. He's better than Wiggins. He's better than Cat, Big Cat. He's better than all those guys. And he's looking around going, you brought me in here. I'm not going to defend the way he's doing it. I'm just going to say in today's world, if you don't stand up as an athlete and say, I'm worth this, you get stomped on, trampled on, and looked at as a wuss. And no question about it.
I think that what he's looking at as well is, with all of that said, he starts that bite off by saying it's not all about the money. And he says it's not all about the money, but it is a little bit about the money because
it's about the money.
Andrew Wiggins makes more money than he does.
Yes, he does. Got a max deal.
Karl Anthony Towns will make more money than he does after his rookie deal is over. He is seeing that, wait a minute, I'm the best damn player on this team right now. I know that. You all should know that. He goes into practice and he shows it. I believe what he's saying, but I also think that he knows that this isn't just a malcontent move, because he has been saying this and he has let the management know all summer long. And he even mentioned as much about where he stood with the team.
We've been talking all summer long. Everybody knew the truth throughout the organization, because I'm going to tell you the truth. Like it or not, anybody, fans, whatever, like it or not, it wasn't just then. So we can put that to rest. It was not just then.
So he comes in on day one and he goes, you know what? Let me show you how good I am.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and do this. He's been talking with Tom Thibodeau. He's been talking with their GM. He's Scott Layden. And then he calls Rachel Nichols on Tuesday. Rachel Nichols, she tweeted out, I got a text from Jimmy saying, I'm ready to sit down, do an interview.
Yeah, sit down.
He's doing what we criticized Kawhi Leonard for not doing, which is Kawhi Leonard didn't speak publicly. Nobody knew how he's feeling. So he calls her. He knows what he's going to do. He goes off, says, give me the scrubs.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and do it. And he puts everyone on blast during practice and then goes and tells them exactly how he feels afterwards.
This is the NBA. And you have to ask yourself, this is what the big mouth in the group gets every single time. Do you want a competitor like that? Or do you want a guy that hides and sulks in the weeds and just says, I'll be a teammate. I'll just kind of just, I'll just meet slowly sidle on in whenever you need me. But just tell me, as soon as I come out, you're going to tell me I'm too much, too loud, too arrogant. It's overwhelming. Stop it. Be a teammate.
55305, malcontent or competitor? Text line is blowing up on this one right now. And we'll get to your feedback next. Plus, the guy who loved this the most, maybe an unlikely person. 6:45 on the Fan. All right, 55305. We're talking about Jimmy Butler on the Better You Today text line. This text says he didn't say anything all offseason long, all reports. So he told the team today on the court how he felt. I work harder than you and care more. Towns and Wiggins got put on blast. People just saying a lot of people don't want him now. He would get along with Dame so damn well. Seriously, we need that. Blazer fans just going off. Bring him to Portland right now, Jimmy Butler.
Have you ever seen that type of attitude? I mean, Dame, I love. Dame is a monster. I get it. But have you ever seen that kind of interaction from a Blazer or from somebody that says, show me the love in a city, in this city?
Show me the love?
Yeah, just come out and say it. Now, I get it. You know, the combination of hearing about what LaMarcus Aldridge just never really felt it. Well, his personality is not, he's not an outward personality. He's not going to be that guy that is going to be and embrace a city. He's an introvert. I mean, that's just different. So you can't ask LaMarcus Aldridge to do that. But if Jimmy Butler was a Blazer and he did this, what would that do for you?
I think a lot of people, if he's saying it's not all about money, then I think he would love a city like Portland because of the fact that fans would embrace that more than anything, because that's the one thing that this fan base is clamoring for, is somebody with edge, not named Damian Lillard, you know?
But that's a small market. It's Minnesota.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I wouldn't consider Minnesota a small market. That's a big city. I mean, it's the Twin Cities. That's a huge. They got all three. That's not a small market city. So, okay, we are a small market city here, quote unquote, small market. Yeah. Would he be embraced more because there would just be more love, there would be more appreciation of it? I just think this is the same guy. And I always ask myself this question. It's difficult to say, are you the type of person in your office, the top salesman, the top GM, whoever the manager is, that constantly is going to let you know what I should be doing? You know, the guy that pushes, the one that you go, how is he getting ahead all the time? Because he runs his mouth and he's outward and everybody knows how he feels. Yet you see that person going up the ladder or anything and you go, can I do this? Should I do this? Are we telling everybody this is the strategy to do it? Is this how we want our superstar athletes? Or is it just because this is the way professional athletes are treated and they feel like they have the value and the power to be able to do this because their earning windows are so short?
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, this isn't, and again, it's not necessarily a money thing because he is making $20 million, which is a max contract for when he signed his deal. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's not necessarily looking for that because if he were to renegotiate right now, we know this about the NBA. If you renegotiate an extension during the season, you get less than what you would if you let it go to free agency, right? We remember when it was, you know, Dame could get $20 million more. That's why people were told not to panic when LaMarcus Aldridge left, because it was the right decision for him to wait till free agency and not sign an extension because you can get extra money on top of it. That's not what he's asking for in this thing, is money power. He's asking for more power from a leadership and kind of the way that the team views and covets him. Because right now it's Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and then it's Jimmy Butler. He's third on the totem pole of guys that they're building around. He's saying, the hell with that. I want to be more than that. I want to be the centerpiece. I want to be the guy. And would he obviously wouldn't be that here with Damian Lillard either, but would they coexist? Absolutely they would. The Blazers would never make this move because he's going to be a free agent next year anyways.
Yeah.
You know? And if he decides he doesn't like it here, he walks. And a lot of good teams aren't going to do that.
Well, yeah, I think it's definitely hard to have a guy that was traded that's not originally. I mean, Wiggins certainly was traded too. So when he was given there, he was originally supposed to be a Cleveland Cavalier. Uh-huh. LeBron said, I don't want you. So they got rid of him. And he's kind of evolved there in Minnesota. And then you have Big Cat, and then Karl Anthony Towns is going to sit there and say, this is my team. I want to grow it. You just got here via trade. Maybe they're just not embracing. They're not looking at it as Jimmy is the guy that needs to be the leader. And Jimmy doesn't like that.
Well, and he's saying, we don't have one. We are soft, and we are going to get run over if this is the case. And there's one person, the reason why he wanted to go to Minnesota was because of Tom Thibodeau, right?
I guess.
And he has said that. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why he wanted to go there.
Yeah, because of the connection with the Bulls, yeah.
But he knows, and this may be the most surprising thing, Jimmy Butler's cussing everyone out. Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins. Mm-hmm. He's cussing out the GM. And also in that Woj report, he was cussing out Tom Thibodeau. Listen to what Butler says about that.
Right now, I know Tibbs. He's in there by himself. He locked his door. And he's smiling. He's laughing. Tibbs, I know you, man. I know you. He's like, yeah.
You think he's happy with what happened today?
Yeah. Tibbs like me. He likes confrontation. He might not tell y'all. He likes it.
I know exactly what this is. This is a little bit of a game of cat and mouse between Tibbs and Butler to try to figure out if you guys are tough and you're a bunch of soft cookies. Because I think he wants toughness. Both guys do. And I think maybe... that was the key, and that was one of those where you get to hear, aha, was this planned? Was this staged? Was this a call-out fest? That if you just say, hey, Jimmy, I need you to get these guys fired up. I need you to do something to put a lightning rod through this organization. I can't do it. I'm the GM. I'm the coach. It's going to look bad if it comes from me. Can we do this together? Is that just a little tease into what happens? And these guys are soft. They all think they're better than they are. And the general manager is giving all this money to these young guys. And here I am trying to sense or put in a little bit of toughness?
He knew. Tom Thibodeau knew because he and Jimmy Butler talked last week. And I guarantee you, Jimmy Butler's like, this team is soft.
Yeah.
These guys aren't, you two guys that you guys consider are leaders are not leaders.
Yeah, they're little pansies.
They're not the ones that you like. And Thibodeau probably looked at him and said, prove it.
Yeah.
And he went. So Jimmy Butler came in.
He's probably smiling.
Proved it. Took the third team and said, all right, put your starters out there. And by all accounts, single-handedly willed them to a win and crushed the soul of Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Because right now, those two guys, think about how it's how those two guys are feeling reading all these reports that Jimmy Butler just came and act like your dad.
Yeah. Said, so give me the threes.
And I'll come and, wreck you guys.
This is like the 92 game or the Dream Team matchup. What I wish a camera was in on that practice.
They do have video of
We talking practice, man?
Talk about practice. Chuck Daly loved it, too. Just like Tibbs.
Close the doors. It's game on.
I love Jimmy Butler for doing this.
We take him with open arms.
I think he is a competitor, but there's that slippery slope between a malcontent and a competitor. The dude is one of the best in the world at what he does, and he does deserve more respect than what he's getting from that Minnesota franchise.
Do big mouths get what they want?
Yeah, but it is a slippery slope.
In sports today.
It is a slippery slope.
In any workplace, though, do the big mouths that let you know end up getting what they want? I'm going to say more often than not.
Well, you have to have a sliding scale. If you're as good as Jimmy Butler, heck yeah. If you are some scrub, if you're Eric Flowers, who just got released, you ain't going to get that.
But if you're Odell Beckham?
You damn sure you are.
Sure are.
55305, the better you today text line. More on Jimmy Butler. And coming up next hour, we got Yogi Roth of the Pac-12 Network joining us at 7:15. Know your foe, 7:45. But next, the hottest sports stories of the day, hot and cool on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.